It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Episode number 119, the Rob Carson Show podcast. Hello. How's it going? Got a lot of stuff to get to on the show today. I did do a video last night on Facebook. If you go to Rob Carson Show on Facebook, it's kind of interesting. I invited you to the studio to show you, if you are interested remotely in podcasting, kind of a quick rundown of doing an audio podcast and then showing you just some of the details of the video podcasting I'm able to do. So I did a live Facebook video on it. You'd see the studio and everything. Just go to Facebook and look for Rob Carson Show. Also on Twitter, Rob Carson Show. All right, much to get to. Going to talk about a little bit of politics, a lot of other stuff to get to. Great audio as well. Apparently the latest bastion for political correctness and unacceptable logos is the Dukes of Hazzard car. I'll give you the details on that in a few minutes. But I do want to mention our sponsors, Dr. Alex Nelson. If you've experienced some decompression in your lower back or herniated discs in your neck, I'm telling you, you ought to go see the doctor. If you have low back pain, shoulder pain, carpal tunnel neuropathy, when your fingers tingle and your hands get cold and all that stuff, you need to go talk to him. FountainofLifeCairo.com, FountainofLifeCairo.com. They're at 8335 North Congress Avenue, Kansas City. The number is 816-741-4711, 816-741-4711. I'm a big believer. We are in the middle of the summer, meaning you are mowing every single weekend, right? You are mowing every single weekend. And you need a zero-turning radius American-made mower that is built like you wouldn't believe. Go see my buddy Andrew at Grass Monsters KC. They sell Dixie choppers made in Indiana. They sell Hustler mowers made in Kansas. These are beautiful mowers. If you go see him, 50 by 20 Raytown Road, Raytown Mow, he'll let you take one for a test drive. Oh, right there around the lot. And you will never be the same. I'm telling you, grassmonsterskc.com. That's grassmonsterskc.com. Go see it. You know, just go take a test drive and see what you think. Don't buy the cheap ones outside the big box store, because they won't last you very long. They may have a nice, attractive little price on it. I saw one yesterday out in front of a place, and I thought, well, that's a pretty good price for a mower. Then I went over and set it. I went, oh, dear Lord. Grassmonsterskc.com. So I guess a Houston plastic surgeon says that more women are wanting to look like Melania Trump. Okay? I've had many women in my office wanting to look like Ivanka. But now a lot of people wanting to look like Melania, apparently. One such request came from a Cyprus mom and cancer survivor. And I want to feel like the first lady that I know I am inside. This is according to this. She's going to undergo 8 surgeries in an effort to look more like Melania Trump. You know, when you are looking to look like someone, that's not mentally well. That's not mentally well. It'd be a lot easier for the guy to look like Donald Trump. I mean, you kind of got to grow out what hair you have on your head and it comb it from one ear all the way over the top, kind of swirl it a little bit, get a fake tan, gain some weight, don't work out. I mean, how tough? Does anybody want to look like, you know, the president? Nothing against the president, but honestly, I don't think it takes a lot of effort. I don't think it takes a lot of effort. Oh, man. There's a little bit of political stuff to get to. We will get to in a few minutes. Not a whole lot. CEO of NBC Universal, Steve Burks, believes that Megyn Kelly is a big star, even though her Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly program has tanked, essentially. It has yet to beat out a rerun of 60 Minutes. They invested $20 million on her. Bring her over from Fox News. This guy said, this Burke says that Kelly is doing a great job. She's a big star. Somebody with that kind of star power. It is complicated bringing her over without disturbing other people, but I think she's doing a great job. What is a great star? You know, what is a great star? There's 3 million people watching your show a night. Does that make you a great star? There's 330 million people in the country. A network executive told CNN that they made a mistake. Variety was harsher. They said her star is dimmer than ever. I'm not being a shredder or anything. Listen, whatever. I wish her the best. I do. Obviously more successful than me. But her interview with Alex Jones over the weekend, which we did talk about on a previous podcast, could not beat out reruns of 60 Minutes or America's Funniest Home Videos. And I have a feeling HGTV is doing pretty well. too. Ex-girlfriend of Barack Obama has come forward. Apparently, there's a new book that's going to feature her. Rising star in the making of Barack Obama, written by David Garrow. Deep dive into his personal life and has already made headlines for uncovering this ex-girlfriend, Sheila Jagger. Now she's a professor at Oberlin College, was dumped by Obama because he was worried that having a white spouse would hurt his political career. Jagger's actually half Asian, half white, but Obama was still concerned that not having a black wife would hurt his reputation and his chances of being a successful politician. Well, that's a good reason to dump somebody, I guess. Just unbelievable. Wow. Apparently, the biography also writes that he considered being gay as a young guy. Gay's not a choice, right? Isn't gay not a choice? You either are, you are, you are not. If you believe that gay is a choice, then the president made a choice not to be gay. If he was considering being gay, then he's not gay, right? Right? This is a disturbing story. Bill Cosby plans to tour to teach teens how to avoid being charged in a sex crime after the collapse of his sexual assault trial. Do you think it's over at this point? Do you think it's over? Janice Rogers was the person who came forward and was in the suit against him. The jury was a hung jury, and it was dismissed. So apparently, Andrew Wyatt, I guess is his attorney, was on Good Day Alabama and said that he wants to teach men, go to town halls, educating teenagers, young athletes, even married men, how to avoid being charged with a sex crime. Yeah. 60 women have said that he drugged them, sexually molested them. I know this isn't funny, but this bothers me a lot. Because I got to tell you, I can't watch Bill Cosby anymore. I can't. We were told he's America's dad. When I was a kid, I listened to all of his, a few of his albums when I was a little boy. They were really funny. Watched his TV shows. Kids Say the Darndest Thing. I think his new one is Jurors Say the Darndest Thing. These kind of things. And I just can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I can't not believe that 60 women coming forward with very similar experiences are all wrong. Because if I believe that Bill Clinton did all those things to those women, then I have to believe this too. Now, this is the only thing I'm going to do about Donald Trump today. Yesterday, Donald Trump was in Iowa, and he did a speech. A couple headlines today about Donald Trump. Yesterday in the speech, he said that if you're going to come here to the United States, if you're going to immigrate, you're not going to be able to get benefits for 5 years. And that's one of the big things he said yesterday. I don't know how you feel about that. The other thing is the health care bill that the Republicans have apparently pushed through the Senate. It looks like Rand Paul and like four other people, Ted Cruz, say it doesn't go far enough, and so they're not going to vote for it. So it could be DOA. But Trump made a speech yesterday, and you got to admit the guy can work a crowd real well, and he was in his element yesterday. And yesterday there was a cut being used by the media, basically saying that Donald Trump doesn't need poor people to be in his administration. All right? I'm going to play the edited soundbite, because this is all over the place. I want to play the cut in full to kind of give you a perspective. Here's what is being bandied about by late night TV and a lot of the networks.
And I love all people, rich or poor, but in those particular positions, I just don't want a poor person. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? If you insist, I'll do it. But I like it better this way, right?
Okay, so it sounds like he's being a complete douche. And out of context, when I first heard it this morning, I'm like, what? Really? Well, he was talking about his economic team. And I'm going to play the soundbite here and let you hear it, and then we'll move on to other stuff. But here's the complete soundbite in front of this crowd. And when you look at some of the economic data that's coming out, and there's some good news coming around with manufacturing coming back to the U.S. and coal mines opening and all that stuff. Here's the soundbite in full, folks.
Unemployment is at a 16-year low. Manufacturing is doing phenomenally, and we have companies moving back. They're coming back. You know, in the state of Michigan, which has just been like an exit pool where car companies have left, I told them, you know what? You want to start leaving? You want to fire all these people? You watch what we're going to be doing. You watch what we're going to be doing. Not going to be too long. We have the legendary Wall Street genius Wilbur Ross here. He's our Secretary of Commerce.
Okay, now he introduces the guys he's surrounded himself with. And this is one of the things I thought about Donald Trump. And it gave me some solace in voting for the guy, because he wasn't my choice. But I thought that he is the kind of guy who would surround himself with the best people to get the job done. Delegate authority, and he appears to be doing that.
We have Gary Cohn, who is the president of Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs? You can't have somebody from Goldman Sachs on your staff. I mean, you can go there and you can be paid $500,000 for a 20-minute speech, but you can't do this.
In fact, somebody, he's the president of Goldman Sachs. He had to pay over $200 million in taxes to take the job, right? So somebody said, why did you appoint a rich person to be in charge of the economy?
Okay.
I said, no, it's true. And Wilbur's a very rich person in charge of commerce.
I kind of like that he's not making people feel guilty about being rich. And he's not ashamed to say that they earned their way. Bernie Sanders made $1 million last year, and he's still talking about the 1%. You know, I mean, okay.
He said, because that's the kind of thinking we want. I mean, you know, really, because they're representing the country. They don't want the money. They're representing the country, and they had to give up.
Got to take a heck of a pay cut to work for the government when you're that rich.
Up a lot to take these jobs. They gave up a lot. When you get the president, this is the president of Goldman Sachs, smart. Having him represent us, he went from massive paydays to peanuts to little tiny. I'm waiting for them to accuse him of wanting that.
I would love to have those peanuts, by the way. I at this point, I think I might even consider a government job.
Little amount of money. They want that. But these are people that are great, brilliant business minds, and that's what we need. That's what we have to have.
Here we go.
So the world doesn't take advantages of it. We can't have the world taking advantage of us anymore.
Here we go.
And I love all people, rich or poor, but in those particular positions, I just don't want a poor person. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. All right, if somebody is 45 years old and they're poor, we can all go through our financial machinations. God knows I've done it. But I want somebody rich in there. I want somebody in there successful and entrepreneurial. It's going to be really hard to, you know, make business, or I should say government, more like business. But do you understand what I'm saying now? Okay, let's move on to some other stuff. The latest, I guess, bastion of what could be considered racial hate, ladies and gentlemen. The General Lee, folks.
Just a good old boy.
Do like this theme song still.
Never meaning no harm.
Waylon.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
I gotta let it play a little.
Straightening the curves. Flattening the hills.
Long time ago.
Someday the mountain might get him, but the law never will.
All right, I got to stop it. All right, I've got to stop it. I know you don't want me to stop it, but I'm going to stop it anyway. Apparently, the General Lee is now a symbol of hate. There was a Highland Creek Heritage Festival over the weekend. There's a video gone viral of an African-American woman going bananas, seeing the General Lee. Now, apparently this person had never seen the General Lee before. Had never seen the General Lee. I don't know. It looked like the woman's about 40 years old. But apparently she had. And there's a little bit of the video, audio.
This racist car with not one but two Confederate flags on it. That's the side that lost the River.
This is where we're going, right? This is where we're going.
Lynching and death of black people that they hung.
Think of all the chargers they destroyed.
Our people from trees and our eyes bugged out.
A community festival turned into a heated exchange. Saturday saw the 32nd annual Highland Creek Heritage Festival take place. Now, in part, it celebrates the Scottish heritage of this Scarborough neighborhood near Kingston Road in Meadowvale. As part of the festivities, there was a classic car display. And right where I'm standing, pulled in one vehicle, which allegedly wasn't invited.
This guy apparently doesn't even know what the General Lee is.
It's a replica of the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard. And on the roof was the Confederate flag, as well as there was the Confederate flag license plate. And that prompted one area resident who says she was disgusted to pull out her phone, videotape the whole scene, and then post it on Facebook.
All right. Now, so I saw this, and there was a ton of reaction to it. And, you know, honestly, I understand the Dixie flag and the whole deal, but it's the frickin' General Lee. All right. It was a bad TV show. Here's a little more from the report, and I believe this tells us where this happened.
The symbol which bears the Southern Cross was the battle flag for General Robert Lee during the Civil War. The flag's historical ties to racism, slavery, and segregation run deep.
And Boss Hogg.
I never get tired of hearing him say that.
The car dubbed the General Lee bearing the flag of the South was also made famous.
The South.
On Dukes of Hazzard.
It has no place here in Canada. It has no place anywhere.
That's it right there. It's freaking Canada.
Anywhere.
Ibia Anderson had just arrived to Saturday's festival with her three-year-old son when she first saw the vehicle.
So I found anyone I could find with a t-shirt that said volunteer or staff of the festival. They kept passing me off. No one wanted to deal with me until I wound up with someone who took me back to the car. And that's where you can see that the man in the black shirt started arguing with me and defending the flag.
The symbol which bears...
I actually had a friend who had a General Lee. This was years ago. And I always thought it was kind of cool. And I never really looked at it as a symbol of hate. I looked at it as a way to escape onerous authority of a law system that would put a speed limit sign back out on the road after you flew by it. An onerous sign of law enforcement that after you jumped the washed out bridge would slam on the brakes and police cars careen into a ravine. That's what I looked at it as. I looked at it as incompetent law enforcement and corrupt county leaders and mayors. That's what I looked at it as. Not as a symbol of hate. Here's the guy, apparently. Now, listen to this. I want you to listen. Because this is normally, these kind of words are used in academia, but they are in the mainstream. And in Canada, you know, there.
It's important to note the man in the black shirt is not festival staff.
If there were a swastika here, I would have known right away that can't be here.
Now, that's the guy who did the festival. Listen to that again. He's comparing the General Lee and the Dixie flag on there to a swastika. They call it a swastika.
If there were a swastika here, I would have known right away that can't be here. Now I know Confederate flag has the same status.
Festival chair Paul McGuire says...
Does it really? I mean, yes, I understand. I get it. I get it. But swastika?
He has no idea who invited the individual who brought the vehicle to the car display, but admits this was one massive oversight.
We're very sorry that someone's hurt. It's a family event, and there are hundreds, thousands of people who come and had a lot of fun, and nobody should be subjected to those triggering moments.
A triggering moment. There you go. There's your academic word. It is a triggering moment. All right? It is a triggering moment. You know, I get triggered when I see a coexist bumper sticker on the back of a Prius, but I don't say anything about it. I get triggered when I see a college student who thinks Che Guevara, the image of Che Guevara on his or her sweatshirt, is cool. I get triggered when I see an anti-fa protest and I see people there with the communist flag and they have no idea that last century communism killed 100 million people. That triggers me. Do I want to knock them down? Do I want to, I might videotape them, sure. But honestly, normally I just look at it as whatever.
That just bring back moments of the worst of human history.
Well, yeah. And the worst of human history, obviously, by the way, includes a time period in television between 1979 and 1985 that included shows like this. Because they were terribly, terribly bad. They were, so, yeah. I said on my Facebook today that those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. Let's not forget those years, okay? Let's not forget 79 to 85 when there were shows on the air, like Fall Guy, Battle of the Network Stars. Let's never forget that, okay? Never forget, folks. Never forget. Obviously, some people have forgotten because ABC is bringing back Battle of the Network Stars. And I've also heard, are you ready for this? I need you to, if you have Diet Coke in your mouth or milk, please. You will do a spit take. Something will come out your nose. They're bringing back the Gong Show. We've already got a new Gong Show. It's called, it was American Idol. Now it's America's Got Talent. That's what it is. It's just not a gong. It has the opposite. It has the golden buzzer. When somebody's really good. Confession, just a real confession here. When I'm upstairs before I go to bed, there are two things that I watch on my cell phone before I go to sleep. One of them is I watch, you know, some punditry. I like to watch Tucker Carlson. I like to watch Ben Shapiro, you know. And I watch America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent, especially the Golden Buzzer episodes and the ones that are very, you know, like the girl's coming out, she's terrified. Or the last night, there was a girl, her father has cancer, and she came out and sang beautifully, and I was weeping like a baby. I was like at the end of Wizard of Oz when Dorothy was saying goodbye and the wizard was just, you know, tears are flowing. Anyway, or no. It was when she was trying to get into Oz and the door guy there. I was like that last night. But I like to watch that. I'm sorry. Confession. And HGTV. Oh, a new show on HGTV. My wife, Brother versus Brother, the Property Brothers competing with one another. Last night, they competed with one another on a building project. And apparently there's this other show called Good Bones that has a mom who's a ginger and a daughter who's a ginger, and they fix up old houses in Indianapolis. It's a fun show, too. They were the judges. Okay, let's move on. Kata, I have said too much. You know, Evergreen State University, about a month ago, decided to do this thing. Well, they do every year, and they have people of color leave the campus for a day, and it's a day without whatever, and it's supposed to send a message about the value of people of color, all that. And this year they asked white people to leave the campus. And one guy decided he wasn't going to do it. This one professor, and apparently a bunch of them said they just didn't do it. This guy was vocal about it and said it was racism. And then, of course, all things went to hell in a handbasket. There were protests. The university president, who we're going to hear from in a second, George Bridges, was essentially held hostage by some of these students. He was questioned by lawmakers in the state of Washington about the whole deal. I'll play a couple sound bites from his testimony on Tuesday.
As part of the materials you've been given is a timeline of the events on campus. It begins with our annual discussion called Day of Absence.
It's the Day of Absence.
Presence. Since the 1970s, some students, faculty, and staff of color have chosen to voluntarily leave campus for a day-long retreat.
I wonder if we could do this for some other just groups. Like, you know, how about just lunch ladies?
This year, the coordinating committee decided...
Janitorial. How about janitorial? I think they should have a day of absence for janitorial, particularly in elementary school. They got to clean up vomit.
...to change the approach and extend the option to people who identify as white.
Who identify as white. Hold on, let's hear that again. That's fantastic. Hold on one second. I'm okay.
People who identify as white.
Okay. I'm a white guy. Does that mean... Wait. I can identify as another group and maybe get a better scholarship?
Participation was...
Think about that. My son's going to school a year from now at college. If he can identify as white, then he can identify as, say, for instance, he could be a minority, possibly have some sort of a handicap or disability. Some sort of a lesbian. He could identify at all those things and get it. Oh, my God. Forget the ACT.
As it always has been, completely voluntary. About 200 people out of 4,800 people on campus chose to participate this year. The great majority of students, faculty, and staff.
This guy, if he put a cup, he would sound like Darth Vader. His breathing is Darth Vader.
Decided to stay on campus, attending class as usual. But as we've heard, and you know, Evergreen has always been a place that takes on difficult issues, sometimes in a rather raucous fashion.
Now, some of these kids who didn't like the fact that the university professor didn't want to leave, phoned in death threats from off campus as an excuse to be able to carry baseball bats around and essentially threaten people who didn't agree with their protest.
The language some students used during these events was offensive by any standard.
No, it wasn't offensive. It was threatening.
And the way they spoke to faculty and staff conveyed immense disrespect. That they disrupted Brett Weinstein's class is unacceptable.
No. He actually had to leave campus. He had to conduct his class off campus because he was physically endangered.
Expect more from Evergreen students, and I am personally, and we all are, disappointed by those who chose to engage in this manner.
Now, this is where he gets to what he's going to do about it.
We are sending each individual student who we can identify from video footage of the protest at Brett Weinstein's classroom.
Now, wait a minute. If they can identify those students, then don't those students just have to identify as somebody else? Right? Do you see where I'm going here? I think all they need to do is, okay, we've identified you as one of those students, and you say, well, that's not me because I don't identify as that person anymore. You see where I'm going here?
A letter of notification and warning, and the warning will be quite clear. If they repeat this type of disruption in the future, they will be adjudicated under our conduct code.
Okay, you're going to get a warning. You are going to get a warning. I think he got his playbook from the United Nations. Unbelievable. The man should be fired. We've really got to do something about administrators who do this and fall for this. It's just, honestly, it's got to turn around sooner or later. Looks like a kid turned up missing earlier this week. You know how panicked it can be. Kid in Miami suddenly is missing. 11 years old. Mom and dad are freaking out. Mom and dad call the cops come out, they bring a helicopter out there. Turns out the kid was right nearby.
It's an intense search for a missing boy in Miami. As police and news crews converge on the neighborhood, something amazing happens. A helicopter from WSBN-TV hovers above. There, on the roof, it's the missing kid.
We spotted the child. He's on the roof of the house.
Yep, the 11-year-old boy is taking...
He's a kiddler on the roof.
...taking a snooze right...
That's the best I can do today.
...on the roof of his own house, bringing the two-hour search to an end.
We're asking one of our people on our assignment desk to call police and let them know that the child is okay. He's sitting there on a tarp. He appears to be in good shape.
Tell me your reaction when you finally zoomed in and saw what you
this
saw.
This is a helicopter
Am I
reporter.
Seeing what I'm seeing? Okay, is that him? That's a kid on the roof. That's the kid.
Cops helped Angel Gort down from the roof. So what the heck was he doing up there? He says he didn't want to go to summer camp.
I didn't mean to cause any trouble, and I just do the stupidest thing sometimes.
Well, at least they didn't have to look very far when this little angel named Angel ran away from home.
We spotted the child. He's on the roof of the house.
He went up on the roof of the house to take a nap because he didn't want to go to summer camp. So... the worst thing you could do, I mean, the best thing you could do, or the best thing the kid could expect is to be grounded. To be grounded, because he wouldn't want to go or wouldn't have to go to the summer camp. No, you got to go to summer camp. you're going to get such a smack. You are going to get such a smack. Now, I do have some serious stuff I do want to get into in a moment here, and then we'll get back into some non-serious stuff. I want to get into doctors and prescribing oxycodone. And the county where the most opioid deaths are happening. Now, I know this is a very serious thing, but there are attorneys general around the country who are going after the opioid epidemic and the over-medication of people with opioid pain meds. So I'm going to get into that in a few minutes. I want to get into... some lighter stuff as well. Jimmy Kimmel let the kid who had his graduation speech cut off, let him finish the speech. They're training dogs to call 911. I know. But you know what? If you do have some pain in your back because of a herniated disc, you might consider decompression. You can do that, Dr. Alex Nelson. You can, they've got these inversion tables. They've got, adjustments, and I'm going to tell you, if you haven't done chiro, okay? I was the biggest skeptic, all right? And I had been prescribed opioid pain meds. I have been prescribed opioid pain meds on more than one occasion. The strong crap. And I said, I'm not going to take that crap. I'm not going to take it. One time I had pain in my shoulder and my left arm, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And I went to a doctor. They said, you need a stress test for your heart. I said, bull crap. And I went and I found a chiropractor, and I was adjusted, and it fixed it. And I threw the pills away. I've never had to take those damn things. Now, there are some things, obviously, you need to be medicated for, but some of these things you might look at, chiropractic care. FountainofLifeCairo.com, FountainofLifeCairo.com, 8335 North Congress Avenue, Kansas City, 64152. All right? FountainofLifeCairo.com. Don't immediately go for the pills. Let's talk a little bit about the pills. In Staten Island, Dr. LaVar Fagan, one of 12 people who were busted in a New York City special narcotics sting, 70-year-old doctor, allegedly responsible for prescribing 3.7 million oxycodone pills from 2012 to 2017. Think about that. That is nuts. Unless you have, I don't know, 20 million customers. This is the report from Pix 11, New York, on this doctor.
Dr. LaVar Fagan was wearing cuffs instead of a stethoscope, hauled into court with other Brooklyn physicians and office managers, accused in a massive scheme to sell highly addictive painkillers, mostly oxycodone, and also defraud Medicare in the process. Dr. Fagan, prosecutors say that you were motivated by greed.
We never, ever treat addicts. We treat sick people. We are primarily.
We treat sick people and we make them into addicts.
Care facility.
You aren't making millions by feeding these addicts addiction.
We are not treating addicts.
We are creating them. Don't you know?
The pills were 100% used as an incentive to get the patients in the door.
Special narcotics prosecutor Bridget Brennan announced the indictments against the Russian-born Fagan, who once posed in the New York Times flashing a fancy watch, suit, and sunglasses, and 12 of his associates from three medical clinics. Doctor, were you helping to feed these addicts and their problems?
No comment.
Brennan said drug dealers were among the clients at the clinic and that Fagan's facilities also earned $16 million by bilking Medicare for unnecessary nerve tests and EKGs.
He loved to dress nicely. He loved nice things. And he couldn't afford it when he was in Russia.
The criminal complaint says that back in 2012, Dr. Fagan started recruiting other physicians and medical practitioners who would be willing to sell illicit prescriptions for oxycodone at clinics in Brooklyn. Oxycodone is one of the most abused opioids in the nation.
I have had oxycodone prescribed on a number of occasions. Oxycodone, there's another one that I had a few years ago prescribed. Literally, I had them until they expired and I threw them away because I didn't want to do it. I had a tooth pulled. I had a back problem. And I just said, I can't do this because I knew years ago that this stuff was bad news.
And it's led many who can't afford the pills to turn to heroin for a similar, though cheaper, high.
And when the prescriptions can't be written any longer, people resort to heroin. I'm going to share the county where the epidemic is the worst in America, and I used to live there.
More than 1,300 people fatally overdosed in New York City in 2016, a city record, and opioids were blamed for the huge spike. The opioid crisis is costing the U.S. economy more than $78 billion annually.
Wow.
But Dr. Fagan said, don't blame him.
I don't know what's going on. My attorney will take care of this.
This is, to me, very troubling. Now, I'm not saying that every doctor that is prescribed any sort of major pain med to me was incorrect in doing so. Getting a tooth pulled, I don't think you need oxycodone for it because that pain ain't going to last you the rest of your life. All right, it's going to last you for months. It's having a tooth removed. I got a good buddy, Gary Walker. He's endured so many spinal surgeries and he's experienced so much pain and he is a Cold War veteran and he's a great man and he suffers and he said, I'm not going to do those pills because he knows. Think about some of the famous people who have been hopelessly addicted to them. one, the greatest talk show host on the radio right now, actually lost his hearing because he was addicted to these painkillers, and they deaden the receptors in your ears that cause you to hear. Brett Favre, there are many more. And then we hear those who end up dying of a heroin overdose. And there are a lot of those. And they aren't just because I'm a junkie and I started on heroin, because they started on oxycodone. And a lot of moms and dads, I mean, I hear every week, I hear a mom and dad who found dead in their house and the kids are running around. Mom and dad died of a heroin overdose. And you're thinking, and I remember hearing the statistic that the fastest growing heroin users in the country were middle-aged or 30-something women in the suburbs. And I said, what? Come on, man, there is no way that is happening. And then you realize the nuts, the insane thing that's going on in this country. And Ohio County claims the top spot in America's opioid death spiral. This is Montgomery County, Ohio. All right. Now this is actually near Dayton. I lived in Ohio, lived in Cincinnati. This is quoting from Reuters. Scott Weedle, struggling with the death of his son, Daniel, who died from a heroin overdose 18 months ago, one day after Christmas. Daniel, who was 30 when he died, was the father of three young boys, Dylan, Landon, and Gavin. Weedle, sand and gravel contractor in Montgomery County, Ohio, said he could have never imagined his son becoming a statistic in the United States growing opioid crisis. And I'm going to tell you guys, this is serious stuff. Opioid drugs, including prescription painkillers and heroin, killed more than 33,000 people in the U.S. in 2015. More than any year on record, according to the Center for Disease Control. 800 estimated in Montgomery County. I heard in St. Louis, 600. D.C., the number's high. Going to die from a drug overdose. More than double the 370 overdoses recorded last year, given the uncomfortable distinction of logging the most overdose deaths in the country per capita. This is beyond the pale. This is an epidemic. You can say all you want, junkies, they deserve to die. Well, you know what? Junkies have been created by and I don't like to throw Big Pharma under the truck, but I'm going to tell you, people are abusing this. People are abusing this to the detriment of other people. People in the pharma industry, people in the physicians are abusing this. And I'm not saying all of them wholesale, but there are plenty of them to point to that have started this. I've never been addicted to something like this. Thank God. Fentanyl, synthetic opioid pain med, responsible for an epidemic of overdose deaths in the U.S., accounts for a significant number in the county. 50 times stronger than heroin, 100 times stronger than morphine. Think about if you get addicted to that. You ain't going to last long. The agency says illegally manufactured non-pharmaceutical fentanyl and related overdoses are rising. In May, the state of Ohio sued five major drug manufacturers, accusing them of misrepresenting the risks of prescription opioid painkillers. The county morgue is at full capacity at this time. Ken Betts, director of the coroner's office. We can average almost 10 bodies per day in our facility, where historically five was a busy day. We've never experienced this level of daily drug overdoses in my entire career. Weedle continues to fight on behalf of Daniel, advocating for stricter laws to curb opioid deaths. This is the dad again. He always loved to put his arm around you and have a smile on his face. People who looked a little desperate, a little down and out, he would go friend them. It's something I wish I could do. That's the dad I was talking about. Scott and his son, Daniel. Maybe this is my next calling, just to prevent this, to get the word out. I'm working on Josh Hawley from the state of Missouri. He's the AAG there, and I'm also working on some folks in Maryland. If you can, don't get on the pills, and if you're on the stuff, I can't offer any advice for you who are using fentanyl. I don't think there are any of you listening, but by God, if you are, you are going to die. If you're using fentanyl, you are going to die. That's it. You are going to die. Sooner or later, you're going to die. And I had heard some things, and I, again, I'm waxing very personal, or very, very serious, I should say. There are people who are so addicted to this crap that if they hear of an overdose, they want to find out where that person got their stuff, because that's the good stuff. I have heard that said time and time again. There are people who are on this stuff, and they are junkies, and they are addicts now. And they look for the person who dealt the drugs to the friend of theirs who got the OD because they know that's the good stuff. The other day, I heard of a drug bust in New York, and one drug bust, enough fentanyl to kill 100 million people. All it takes is a couple little grams of this. All it takes is a couple little grains of it, and you're dead. That's my next step. I've always been an advocate for the prevention of childhood. So I've always been a promoter of fostering adoption. I've always been a friend of adoption of animals as well. Maybe this is my next calling, to get this word out and to help turn this around. We got to turn 33,000 people a year. Dear Lord in heaven, I can't just say, oh, they're just junkies. They're just junkies. Because then I see a mom and a dad dead in a minivan and the kids still strapped in the seats in the back. Clearly, they have lost the ability to make a rational decision because they're so, so addicted. All right. Let's move back to the less serious. High school valedictorian last week had his microphone turned off when he started to criticize the school. Here's a little audio from that.
Throughout my time at Wyoming area, I have pursued every leadership opportunity available to me. In addition to being a member of student council since I was a freshman, my classmates have also elected me class president the past 4 years, which has been my greatest honor, and I would like to thank you all for that one final time. It really means a lot. However, at our school,
the title
of class president could more accurately be class party planner, and student council's main obligation is to paint signs every week. Despite some of the outstanding people in our school, the lack of a real student government, combined with the authoritative attitude that a few teachers, administrators, and board members have, prevents students from truly developing as leaders. Hopefully, this will change.
Hopefully, there it is.
For the sake of future students, more people in this school who do not do so.
Turn it on, man. And you know, this... So many times we criticize kids for not stepping up and taking more responsibility. Here's a kid who's begging for it. He probably pesters these teachers like, what can I do? What can I do? I did the same thing in school, by the way. Did the same thing in college. What can I do? What can I do? This kid needs to be celebrated, man. He needs to be celebrated. He's frustrated because he wants to be a leader, and there are teachers and administrators. Now go in there, just paint a sign. Do some invites or something. I like this kid. I really do. Jimmy Kimmel invited him on his show and allowed him to finish the speech. Here's the rest of it, folks.
Hopefully, for the sake of future students, more people of power within our school who do not do so already will begin to prioritize education itself as well as the empowering of students. Because at the end of the day, it is not what we have done as Wyoming area students or athletes that will define our lives, but what we will go on to do as Wyoming area alumni. And I hope that every one of my classmates here today, as well as myself, will go on to do great things in this world and achieve true happiness and success. Thank you all for coming out to this great celebration today.
That's a good speech.
I like that. I like that. The kid did a good job. He's going on to college. And Kimmel wanted to say, you know, I hope you raise some hell there too. And I do too, because he's not raising hell. He's not raising the, he's raising the bar. Wow, did I just come up with that? He's not raising hell. He's raising the bar, and the crowd goes wild. Woohoo! One final story. Dogs are a gift from God. They're wonderful. A lot of the times, obviously, well, one of the groups that I work with is fish. Friends in Service of Heroes. And what they do is they give service animals to veterans who need it. And, you know, who've been through hell. Veterans who've experienced PTSD. Dogs can do wonderful things. I've been to many presentations of a dog by this organization. Well, Melody Jackson is the director of the Animal Computer Interaction Lab at the Georgia Institute of Technology. And she got to thinking about... Her grandmother apparently had an incident on a trail and could not get up and had the dog there. And She had to wait for her neighbor to get home from work to get help. The family obviously was terrified. So they brought one of those alert necklaces. She didn't like to wear it. So what they're doing now is they're teaching dogs to use a touch-friendly, dog-friendly touchscreen that works like a telephone. All right, so the colleagues at Georgia Tech developed a new testing way canines to communicate with humans during a medical emergency. They tested a touchscreen that dogs can use to call or text. Dogs can be trained to activate a device if their owner fails or falls or didn't hear or heard a verbal cue telling them to get help. Lassie, Timmy's in the well. Come on, guys. The dog could go over, touch the screen, touch a series of icons on the touchscreen. Call 911, get your location. Now, I will tell you, no matter what your dog wants, if you do this, do not get them their own smartphone. Do not get them their own smartphone. Do not leave them alone with the smartphone. Because sooner or later, you're gonna get that bill from Amazon, and there's going to be a bunch of chew toys on it, and you are going to get stuck with it, folks. And you are going to get stuck with it. All right. That's going to do it for the podcast today. That is going to do it for today. This is episode 119. 120 coming very soon. Want to thank you for listening. Want to thank our sponsors. Want to thank my buddy Andrew at Grass Monsters KC. Grass Monsters KC. If you're considering a mower for home, the Z2. Check out the Z2 at Dixie Chopper. All right. 23 horsepower engine. 7-stage deck height. Quick lift lock. Motorcycle tires. Low-profile tires with motorcycle tread similar to caster turns. These things, it grips the ground. It steers with your pinkies. Just amazing. Grass Monsters KC. All right, grassmonsterskc.com. 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Mo. If you would, keep my family in your thoughts and prayers as we try to launch and get this podcast going. If you would also, if you don't mind my asking, will you share it with others? It's available now on iTunes. It is available now on TuneIn. It is available now on iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Libsyn, Google+. All you have to do is Google The Rob Carson Show or go to my Facebook at Rob Carson Show or go to Twitter at Rob Carson, okay? Let's build this. I need to get 20,000 downloads per show. And here's what I promise you. Every day I bust my butt to do these moments of broadcasting. Everything that you hear on this podcast is chosen by me. The audio is selected by me, and I do this because I love to do it, and I want to provide you with something that's different, something other than a traditional monologue and phone call show. You'll notice I didn't talk a bunch about healthcare legislation today. You'll notice I didn't talk a lot about, you know, whatever else that everybody else is talking about. I want to give you something different, and I want to give you a place to come and I can talk to you. And you can write me, too, if you want to. Just go on my Facebook page, Rob Carson Show. Or you can write me personally, carsonontheradio@gmail.com. Hang on to that, carsonontheradio@gmail.com. Keep my family in your thoughts and prayers. There's darkness before the light. That's all I can really say. And right now, things can get a little dark. And it's hard to see the light when you're waiting for another gig to happen. So I'm hoping that's going to happen soon. And if you don't mind my asking for prayers, and I'll pray right back. You send me a prayer request, I'll send it right back. All right? Thanks for listening to episode 119. God bless you guys, and we'll see you back here for number 120 very soon.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.